Please open your Bibles to the book of Romans. As you know, those of you that are regulars with us, we're doing a New Testament survey, one book per Sunday. And it's my honor and privilege to bring you the book of Romans today, which is an incredible book. When you study a book of the Bible, it is very important that you look at the historical context. What is the history behind the book? Who wrote the book? Why did they write it? Who are they writing it to? When did they write it? Answering questions like this help you understand the book. Where do you get this information? When you want to ask who wrote Romans, why did he write Romans, when did he write Romans, for what reasons did he write Romans, where do you get that type of information? I love asking this question because I know that the regulars here at Trinity already know the answer. What is the best source of background information for the Bible? The Bible. I love it. Romans chapter 1. Please open Romans chapter 1, verse 1, and let's pray together. Would you pray right now that God would help you understand the book of Romans just a little better? Help you, give you a hunger. Pray that God would give you a hunger for the book of Romans, that you would desire to go home and read it and study it on your own. Pray for the other people in this room, that God would give them a desire and a hunger for the book of Romans, that they would desire to go home and read the book on their own. Now would you please pray for me that I would do a great job introducing this book. Gracious Heavenly Father, it is an undeserved privilege to stand before these people and introduce this book. I pray that you'd help me especially to do it accurately. Please be with me, Lord God, in these next few moments, in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans 1, 1. We're asking the questions, who wrote the book? Who was he writing to? Why did he write it? Romans 1, 1. Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was born a descendant of David according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for his name's sake, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ, to all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. For God, whom I serve in my spirit in the preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you, always in my prayers making request if perhaps now at last by the will of God I may succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, so that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established, that is, that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine. I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that often I have planned to come to you and have been prevented so far, so that I may obtain some fruit among you also, even as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So, for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. Okay, we get a lot of information here, a lot of background information about the book of Romans. First of all, this is what we call a softball. This is a lob. Easy question. Who wrote the book? Paul. First word of the book. Paul. Paul wrote the book. Our beloved apostle Paul wrote the book. He is dedicated to the gospel. Second question. Little more difficult, but it's very obvious from the verses we read. Who is he writing to? Don't say it out loud. I'm going to give it to you. Christians in Rome. Christians in Rome. You get that very clearly from verse 7. Most likely, the church in Rome, and again, when we talk about church, you have to think in terms of the first century. When I say the church in Rome, I do not mean the group, the single group that met in a large building such as this. When I say the church in Rome, I mean all of the Christians in Rome meeting in various house churches. So when we talk about the church in Rome, there was probably both Jewish and Gentile believers in Rome. In Acts chapter 2, we learn that there were people from Rome at the day of Pentecost. So perhaps, I'm just trying to put it together here, perhaps people in Rome on the day of Pentecost were among the 3,000 people saved. They went back to Rome, brought the gospel, and started a church. By now, there was no doubt Gentile believers as part of that church, probably several house churches. So who wrote the book? Paul. Who's he writing to? Christians in Rome. In verses 9 through 15, Paul tells these Roman believers that he longs to see them. He really wants to come and visit. He wants to be with them so that they can encourage each other. In verse 15, he says, I am eager to preach the gospel to you. Now we've learned a lot of background information, and I want to say this every single time. You go to my office and you're going to see hundreds and hundreds of dollars worth of books. And those books are great, and they're very important, and they're extremely helpful. But every bit of background information I just got from chapter 1. The Bible itself gives you a lot of background information, and in fact, the most reliable background information from the book itself. Let's get some more directly from the book. Turn to chapter 15, all the way back. Chapter 15. Let's get some more background information. Very, very important background information. Chapter 15, Romans 15, 20. Romans 15, 20. And thus I aspired to preach the gospel, not where Christ was already named, so that I would not build on another man's foundation. But as it is written, they who had no news of him shall see, and they who have not heard shall understand. For this reason I am often been prevented from coming to you. But now, with no further place for me in these regions, and since I've had for many years a longing to come to you whenever I go to Spain, for I hope to see you in passing and be helped on my way there by you when I have first enjoyed your company for a while. But now I'm going to Jerusalem serving the saints. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. Yes, they were pleased to do so. And they are indebted to them, for if the Gentiles have shared in their spiritual things, They are indebted to minister to them also in material things. Therefore, when I have finished this and have put my seal on this fruit of theirs, I will go on by way of you to Spain. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness and blessing of Christ. A lot of great information there. Paul has been longing to come to Rome to preach the gospel to them, but he can't get there. Why? He was prevented from going to Rome. This passage tells us exactly why. He was prevented from going to Rome because there were other places he needed to go. Places that had never heard the gospel before. He wanted to go to Rome to teach those Christians the gospel more thoroughly. To teach those Christians the gospel more completely. But there were other places where the name of Jesus had not even been named. There were other places that had never heard the foundation of the gospel, so Paul needed to go to those places first. But now, Paul says, I have no other place to go. So his plan is to come to Rome. But what is his exact plan? You see it in this passage. There is a financial gift from the Gentile Christians to the Jewish Christians. And we see this theology of Paul, this priority of Paul. You can see it again in verse 27. Let me read it again. Romans 15, 27. Yes, they were pleased to do so, and they are indebted to them. That is, the Gentile believers, which is most of us in this room, are indebted to the Jewish believers. Why? For if the Gentiles have shared in their spiritual things, they are indebted to minister to them also in material things. Paul teaches this. He says, we were grafted in against nature into the original olive branch. Salvation is from the Jews. Amen? And if we Gentiles, Trinity Baptists, have shared in material things, Paul says, our Jewish Christians, we should share with them in material things. And that's exactly what Macedonia and Achaia are doing. The Jewish Christians in Jerusalem are experiencing poverty. And the Gentile Christians in Macedonia and Achaia, out of genuine Christian love, have taken a benevolent offering, and Paul is going to Jerusalem to deliver this money. And then he's going to go from Jerusalem to Spain. But before he gets to Spain, he's going to come to Rome. And what's so great about the Bible, brothers and sisters, is you can read the book of Acts, and you can see this overlaid in the book of Acts. You can see when in Paul's life and ministry this is all taking place. So if you haven't read the book of Acts, that is another superb way to get background information into every other book. So Paul wants, that's his plan, but before he gets there, he writes this masterpiece. This masterpiece of a letter to the church in Rome. And in this beautiful letter, he thoroughly explains the gospel. Has someone ever come up to you and said, you have got to read this book? Have you faced that? Someone comes up to you and says, I read this book. You have got to read this book. You have got to go to this seminar. You have got to listen to this sermon on the radio. You have got to expose yourself to this information. Has anyone ever said that to you? I get that many times as a pastor. People come to me and say, Pastor Dave, you have got to read this book. It's funny because the people that most do that are other pastors. You think that they would understand that I have enough books to read, but they're all saying, read this, read this, read this. All the pastors are giving everybody else books to read, and I guess that's why we're so busy. My admonition to you, Trinity Baptist, is this very, very simple. You've got to read this book. The book of Romans. You've got to read this book. It is a thorough explanation of the gospel. Can you think of any other piece of information that is more important to you? A thorough explanation of the gospel. I've got a little outline for you. You should have it in your notes. The first part of Romans is 1:1 through 1:17, and it is the message, and the messenger of God's grace. The message and the messenger of God's grace. Enan, go back one. Let's make sure they see that. When you study a book of the Bible, it's important to look at the historical context. That's good. Now back to where you were. The message and the messenger of God's grace, that's the first part. Let's look at the first four verses again. Please go back to the very beginning of Romans. Romans 1:1. Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, who was born a descendant of David according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord. That could be one sermon right there, amen? 1 through 4, that's incredible. You can see that this book is going to be amazing. The first section is the message and the messenger. The second section in your notes is the spread of sin and death. The spread of sin and death, 1:18 to 3:20. In 1:18, Paul starts out by talking about the universal and devastating spread of sin to the entire human race. Don't raise your hand, but have you ever, very few people get to do this in our society, but have you ever had the privilege of making the last payment on your house? Some of you perhaps may have. Make the last payment on your house and you're like, oh, we're free and clear. Now, what if you make that last payment on your house and you go to your 5-year-old son and you say, Johnny, the house is paid off? Could you expect him to celebrate with you? No, why? He has no clue the utter crushing debt that you have been under for 30 years. He can't appreciate the good news because he never got the bad news. He's never been in escrow. He never signed his life away for $250,000 for a loan. He doesn't understand how great it is to pay off your house. Paul has 16 chapters of good news, but first he's got to give us the bad news. Because the world is convinced that if I'm just a good person, I'll be okay. And Paul takes 1:18, chapter 1, verse 18, to chapter 3, verse 20, to explain that everybody needs to be saved. No matter who you are, and no matter what you've done, we are all under the wrath of God. Let me give you this bit by bit, chapter 1:18 to 3:22. The wrath of God is revealed in response to man's rebellion. Chapter 2, very important in this context, Israel is guilty too. Chapter 3, 1 through 20, God is righteous and everyone is guilty. This book is so important, brothers and sisters. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, you know what, I've been coming to church for a while, and I come to church, and I put money in the offering plate, and I'm a pretty good mom, I'm a pretty good dad, I'm a pretty good person. Oh, please read 118 to 320, and you will see that you absolutely need Jesus Christ. The next section, that's 118 to 320. The next section is the overflow of God's grace. The overflow of God's grace, that is 321 through 1136. Do you want to grow in your walk with God? Do you want to grow in your understanding of the gospel? Do you want to grow in your relationship with God? Do you want to grow deeper in your knowledge of God's grace? This section of Romans is a treasure chest. It will absolutely change your life. Absolutely change your life. As a pastor for more than 20 years, I have many people come up to me and they say, Brother Dave, these gentlemen came to my door and they said this, and I've been listening to you and you're saying this over here. Or I listened on the radio and these people said this, but I hear you saying this. Or I read this book that I got off of Amazon and it said this about God, but I hear you saying this. And this is why it is so awesome that we have our own Bible. I always say to those people, and I'm going to say to you again, I am never going to stand up here and say, you should trust me over that person at the door. You should trust me over that person on the radio. You should trust me over the person that you read in a book. You should trust me over the guy that writes the blog on the internet. You should trust me over the person you saw on the television or in a movie. No, brothers and sisters, that's why we have this. Do you want to know the truth about the gospel? Romans. Romans 3:21 through 11:36 will give you the true gospel. And my job is not to give you my opinion. My job is to explain what Paul says as accurately as I can. And if you ever catch me not doing it, Michael Tyler, Kerry Tyler, Sakuchia, Ben Hendricks, or come to me directly. You go to those men and you say, Pastor Dave taught this, but the Bible says this. And we will fix it. Let's break it up. Chapter 3, 21 through 31, salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. Very, very, very important. That is how you are saved. Paul spends the entire book, 16 chapters, telling us that without Jesus, you cannot know God. Chapter 4, the example of Abraham. Remember, he's talking to Jews. So in chapter 2, he shows that the Jewish people, though they have the law and the prophets and the temple service, are still guilty before God. In chapter 4, he shows that how Abraham was saved by faith, just like all of us are supposed to be. Chapter 5, 1 through 11, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 5, 12 through 21, Adam spreads sin to all. Jesus covers it with grace. Chapter 6, dead to sin, united to Christ. Chapter 7, why the law is powerless to save us. Chapter 8, set free in Christ. Chapter 9 through 11, what about Israel? Has God rejected his people? Very, very important. This is chapters 3 through 11. Trinity Baptist Church, please go home and read these beautiful chapters yourself. Very, very, very important that we read the book of Romans. Paul goes to great lengths to explain why giving me rules will not help me because I am living in what Paul calls the flesh. The flesh. I am stuck in this sinful, corrupt body, and if you give me rules without Jesus, the result will always be sin. It is simply not going to help. That Paul says that in Romans over and over and over again. You cannot keep the rules. All the rules do is awaken the sin within me and cause me to sin and sin and sin and sin. It is only through Jesus Christ that I can be set free from the power of sin. I'm going to embarrass myself here with my inability to catch, but if we were outside, I'm going to assume that you can still hear me. If we were outside, and I threw this bottle as high as I possibly could, it would always come down. Believe it or not, I was alive. The amount of power necessary to get that rocket off the ground. Maybe some of you watched it live. Maybe some of you have seen it on YouTube. The amount of sheer power necessary to get that thing off the ground is absolutely astronomical. Why? Why can't I get the bottle to fly off into space? Why does it take so much power to get a rocket off the ground? Gravity. We are all under the law of gravity. And the law of sin is the same. Without Jesus, you're a slave to sin. No amount of religion, no program, no information, nothing will allow you to escape the law of sin and death. Sin will always defeat you, and it will always kill you. Enter Jesus Christ. And that's what Romans is all about. Read 3:21 through 11:36, and you can see that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Why? Because the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sin for sinful flesh. He condemned sin. He defeated it. So that the righteous requirements of the law may be fully met in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Set free in Jesus. Oh, Trinity Baptist, what I'm trying to do is whet your appetite for this section of the Scriptures. I've given you this much. Go home and read it yourself. Chapters 3 through 11. The next section is living in God's grace. Living in God's grace, 12:1 through 16:27. This section is our response. What do we do in response to our salvation? How do we live? How do we treat each other? How do we treat the governing authorities? How do we treat each other in the church? It's all spelled out in Romans 12 through 15. Spells out how to live your life as a Christian. It gets very specific. Chapters 12 through 15. Our response to God's grace. Chapters 12 through 15 are response to God's grace. And then finally, chapter 16, Paul sends his love to his brothers and sisters in Christ. Trinity Baptist Church, I challenge you to read the book of Romans. You can read it cover to cover in 1 hour. And that's from David Gordon, who's a slow reader. You might be able to go faster. You can read it cover to cover in 1 hour. I did something fantastic this week that was so much fun in my preparation for this. I read it cover to cover 5 times. It took me about an hour a day. That you can do that. You can do that. Get up in the morning, read it. Before you go to bed at night, read it. I read it 5 times. And the overall message of the book of Romans became more and more obvious to me. Read the book, brothers and sisters. Read the book, and you will learn the true gospel. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us this beautiful book. Thank you for preserving it down across the sea 2,000 years so that we could have what Paul wrote here today. And I pray for these beautiful people, Heavenly Father, that they would read the book of Romans and understand it. In Jesus' name, amen.